This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of March the 20th, 2017, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we'd like you to put your television on mute for episode 224 of TVA, the podcast. Well, Greg, it sounds like the wiles of winter are passing us by on the wayside. I had to fit another W in there somewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The last...
We had the big storm.
Right.
About a week ago.
Did you get a lot of snow?
Oh, Hamilton got hammered.
Oh, okay.
Because what happened is, and I like to use my limited amount of meteorological knowledge to explain it. You know how Buffalo always gets hit with that lake effect snow because they're at the end of Lake Erie?
Yes, sir.
And normally the wind comes from west to east and whips across the lake and Buffalo gets hammered. Well, occasionally the wind does a little circle thing and whips around from east to west. And because Hamilton's right at the end of Lake Ontario, the other end, the wind comes across Lake Ontario, and we turn into the Buffalo of the reverse Buffalo of Lake Ontario.
Wow! So you're not sheltered by the fact that you've got the escarpment around you. Sometimes that works against you.
Yes. Well, I mean, wind don't care.
Right. Turns you into a bowl.
My first Canadian novel of the early 1900s, by the way, Wind Don't Care.
That's nice. I like that. That's very good.
Set on the prairies. It's about an independent woman who's trying to come to grips with herself with an abusive husband while the railroad's going through.
Wow. I think that was a Pierre Burton book as well.
I think that was every Canadian novel, to be honest.
Farley Mowat. They all used it. Wind Don't Care.
Alice Munro. Just a whole bunch of them. Wind Don't Care. I kind of like it. I think that should be a new mini series on not CBC proper. You know, do they still have an offshoot channel? They used to.
They got the CBC Docs. That might fit.
Oh, there you go. Wind Don't Care.
a meteorological
find it.
Doc.
Come on, find it.
Forget it.
A weather thing.
A weather thing.
Ain't nothing but a weather joint. Well, folks, it is that time. We have safely passed by the Ides of March.
Yes.
Which I know former co-host Diane Wilde was always excited when I brought up the Ides. And then whenever I said the Ides of March, she always had to double think because that was the one that actually meant something.
Yeah. You say it. It just goes to show you how many times you actually say it.
Exactly. It's worth being said. It's an evil day.
Is it?
Well, people get stabbed in the back. That's all I know.
I get stabbed in the back more often than just on the Ides of March.
Oh, there you go. You know what? Before we kick in anything, I believe it's time for the beverage update.
And, yes.
And I'll let you go first. I have a twist on the sure. beverage update this week.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have a twist because it's not as has been not an unusual thing for the past little while. We're recording in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I've decided I'm going to go a little bit off the map. But you go ahead first, and you don't have to go off the map. I'm kind of doing my own thing. I'm just warning people in advance, that's all.
Wow, this is kind of exciting. All right, well, I'll hurry then so that we can get to whatever you're going off the map with. That's my bag of coffee beans. That's what I had today because it's too early in the day to be drinking anything else.
You just ate a bag of coffee beans? That's all you had?
Yeah, I just eat them, man. It's just, you know, forget the water and grinding the beans. I just eat them. No, I ground some Three Sisters Medium from Kicking Horse Coffee. The three words that they use, the three adjectives that they use to describe Three Sisters is smooth, savory, and seductive.
Ooh. Wow, smooth, not just smooth and seductive, but smooth, savory, and seductive.
Savory and seductive. And specifically, this is the description for this flavor. Mmm.
Wow.
That's the sound of good coffee, deep, dark, and delicious coffee. These are organic, fair trade, Arabica beans roasted right in the Canadian Rocky Mountains. We love what we do, and we think you will too. That's why this coffee kicks ass. Wake up with us.
Wow, kicks ass.
Kicks ass.
So, so here we go. I'm going off the grid on this one. So technically, it's drink related.
Okay,
but it's not alcoholic drink related.
Okay.
So, I think I'd heard about them. I discovered a new thing last week, which was the Tic Tac mixers.
Yeah.
So the Tic Tac mixers, and the flavor that I got is the Cherry Cola Tic Tac mixer. So mm-hmm. while it's not quite a beverage update, it's about a beverage. And the idea is that when you pop one of these Tic Tacs in your mouth, you first taste cherry, and then you taste cola.
That's crazy.
It is. And so it's Tic Tac mixers. Now, all I can say is Tic Tac Canada. If you would like me to send me a supply of Tic Tac mixers, the one I haven't tried yet, which apparently is available, is the peach lemonade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So starts like peach, becomes lemonade. So I'm just saying, folks at Tic Tac Canada, if you would like to send me a bunch of Tic Tac mixers for further review, you know, I will gladly review Tic Tac mixers on an upcoming podcast. That's all I'm saying.
Do you know any other flavors?
So of the mixers in Canada, the mixers, the only two I see are the Cherry Cola and the Peach Lemonade.
Okay.
Now, I don't know outside of the mixers, out of regular Tic Tacs, you know, my favorite has always been for years has been the orange.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to say same with me.
Yeah, I like the orange. So, I mean, there's the regular Tic Tacs, the regular mints. There's the orange. There's the Fruit Adventure that they have now.
Mm.
Don't know if I've seen that. There's the Winter Green, which I've tried many times. That's been around for a while. There's Grape, which I remember. Spearmint Mix. I don't know what Spearmint Mix is. Is it a mix of spear and mint? I'm not sure. There's
very,
Strawberry Fields.
Mm. Forever.
Indeed. And then there's the Tic Tac mixers that I just mentioned. So I'm surprised there's not more Tic Tac flavors.
Yeah. And
like back in the day when there used to be a Lifesaver factory in Hamilton.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right? Like Lifesavers had like at least 20 different flavors.
I know. I used to, at Christmas time, we would get that Christmas book that would have five different flavors. And now I think
10 different flavors.
Yeah. That's right. We've talked about this before. Now they've really cut down on the number of flavors.
Yeah. Yeah, and you used to be able to get a whole bunch of flavors, and like that was cool. It was like the Lifesavers chock full of fun book or whatever the heck it was.
I think it was a storybook. Is that what it was
Christmas
called?
Christmas gift storybook or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I just hated the butter rum roll. I always gave that away.
Butter rum. I think you don't appreciate that until you're an adult. To be honest.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yes, I think that's what it comes down to. But like I say, Tic Tac Canada. Hey. I think you should give them a shout out on the
notes? Post. I will. Yes. Okay, I will.
So that they can send us some Tic Tacs.
Making the
How much will it cost them, really? I mean, to be honest with you, send us a sample of all your flavors, and then we will do a taste test.
Or just send us to Costco. They probably sell them at Costco in bulk.
Give us a coupon.
A coupon.
There you go. Now it's an interesting beverage update this week, folks. We will admit, but you know we had to get there. Before we actually get into the calendar this week, Greg, you want to talk about an event that's coming up in Toronto in about a month's time, which apparently TVA is somehow involved in.
Yes, this will be the third year in a row that TVA is the official media sponsor of the Toronto Screenwriting Conference. It's the weekend of April the 22nd and 23rd, so that's a Saturday and a Sunday at the Metro Toronto Convention Centre. And for folks that have followed our coverage before, the conference is made up of speakers that come in from all over the world, in North America, Canada, the U.S., and the rest of the world to talk about the movie and television industry overall, and specifically they talk about writing, pitching, how to put together a pitch package, scripts. Basically, it's not really a conference for beginners. This is more of an intermediate kind of conference where it's kind of the next steps in improving and networking with people. So they're having industry roundtables, which is new this year. In addition to the speakers, where you sit in a room and listen to the speakers talk, you'll also get a chance to pay a little extra and go sit down at a table with these folks. They won't be taking your pitches, but they will be giving you more one-on-one advice. Also, the Writers Guild of Canada Writing Room Intensive will be happening again this year, and a little bit different. The last couple of years, they've done drama series, and this year, for the first time, they're going to be doing it as a comedy series. And the panel, the writing room, will be run by Inns Choi and Kevin White from Kim's Convenience. And so you'll get the information on the website, which is torontoscreenwritingcommerce.com, is there so that you can sign up to take part in that room. There's also information on the Telefilm Canada New Voices Award, the McGee TV Diverse Screenwriters Mentorship Award, and then there's hotel and travel information included in there as well. Some of the speakers: Marty Noxon, she's the creator and showrunner of Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. Adam Reed, who's the creative executive producer, showrunner of Archer, a very funny show. Chris Cantwell, creator, executive producer, showrunner of Halt and Catch Fire, which is, I think it's got one more season left on AMC. The aforementioned Inns Choi and Kevin White. And Corey Mandel, who comes, I think he's been coming for the number of years that I've been going to the screenwriting conference. And he's fantastic. The room that he has always is packed, because he gives such great insight into how to advance yourself in the industry. So go to the website. The early bird is still going on for the weekend. And I'll be thrilled to be covering the conference, speaking to folks, doing some podcast interviews with some of the people on the panels. It should be good.
So one thing that you have to know about this, don't just expect to drop by as though it's some kind of unconference that is free to pop into. It's not a cheap ticket.
No.
But it looks like right on the website, I don't know, because they've included taxes. It's $446.35.
Yeah, like I said,
and that's the early bird.
That's the early bird. Yes. Again, this is an intensive weekend, not meant to be for beginners. So you're going to come out of this weekend with some invaluable information with how to further your career in the industry. And I know people that go back year after year, writing can be a very solitary thing sometimes, and to just be able to get together with people and talk about what you're working on and kind of commiserate on the challenges that we all face as writers, people really like to do that, and this is an opportunity to do it.
Now, if you're interested, you can go onto the website, and there's a link to volunteering.
So yes.
If you wanted to go and at least be around the conference and probably have a little bit of time to check in on some of the stuff and meet a bunch of people, that might be one way to do it. So
exactly. And so come on down also I forgot, we will be giving away two passes through the website, so we will have more information as we get closer to the date, but I can tell you that up front that you may be able to you might not have to worry about paying, because we can foot the bill and give you a free pass for the weekend.
Now, how many people do they usually get at this convention?
Last year I would say probably well over 500 people attend. Okay. I would say.
Okay.
Yep.
Which makes kind of sense in Toronto. Like, if you were to do it in Toronto, Montreal, or Vancouver, you'd probably get a high attendance. If you were to do it elsewhere in Canada, it might be a bit, numbers would probably be down a little bit. Even though it's the Toronto Screenwriting Conference, I'm guessing it's the equivalent almost of a national conference for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this attracts people from all over North America for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Very, very cool. So so if you're there, and I might be.
Yeah.
I'll be at a different conference in the same convention center.
It is a big convention center.
It's like two complete. It's two convention centers in one, basically. Yeah,
it is.
It's quite huge, but I know that I'll have to be texting you and seeing if we can meet up for a beverage or something like that.
Oh, that sounds good.
We can do a live beverage update.
Yes. Well, if you're there on the Friday, we could go to the Super Channel Lounge.
Well, I won't be there the Friday night, unfortunately.
Ugh.
Oh, I might be. You know what? I might be coming back for that. I actually have I have a conference, I have a convention, and a meeting on the same weekend.
Holy cow.
So I'm driving into Toronto on Thursday night for two Friday morning meetings, then driving back to the Toronto airport for a meeting in the evening, and then I have to decide whether I'm coming back to Toronto for late Friday night or whether I'm going to spend the night I don't know. It's a disaster. That's all I'm saying. I have a whole lot of conflicts. That's all.
You're a busy man.
I am. That takes us to the calendar. And folks, indeed, we've got some big stuff coming up on the calendar. We're recording here on the Sunday, but usually we record on the Monday. So we're going to start as of Monday, March the 20th. And we'd mentioned this on the last podcast, and we're going to talk a little bit about it later. Or we could talk about it now. It doesn't really matter. We've got the season finale of Murdoch Mysteries. And I remember 2 weeks ago I said, Greg, I said, season finale, not series finale.
Yes, and there is good news for the fans. The good news is that Murdoch Mysteries has been renewed for a season 11. Peter Mitchell told me in an interview on Friday that they've actually been in the writer's room for 2 or 3 weeks now, sussing out what they want to do with regard to season 11. So after the season 10 finale, I'll be posting a story on TVA.com where Peter Mitchell outlines what's to come in season 11. It's still early days, but he's got some definite story ideas and some characters that that he was willing to share with me. But before that, we need to talk about the season finale. It is called Hell to Pay. I don't want to give away any spoilery information. I can say that at least one villain from the past returns. There was particularly a thorn in Brackenreed's side. I can say that because the teaser is already out there. Murdoch is on the run and accused of murder, so he's trying to avoid the police. Of course, he works for the police, but he's got people within the force that believe that he is innocent, and they try to help him. And I can say that it's a cliffhanger of a season finale. I can also say that at this point, we're not sure whether or not one or more characters may carry on into season 11.
Ooh. Well, it's good that it's good they got renewed for season 11 being a cliffhanger and all.
Yes, exactly. Now, you know, they knew a while ago that they were going to be coming back for a season 11. So otherwise, yeah, that would have made for an awkward series finale.
Especially after 10, after like 10 seasons. It's like, we're doing a cliffhanger. It's like, oops.
Yeah, I mean, I was speaking to one of the CBC publicists at the Canadian Screen Awards one of the nights, and she said to me, listen, it would be more newsworthy if Murdoch Mysteries didn't get renewed. So there really isn't a fear that it won't be renewed. It continues to be do very well in the ratings, and actually this past season was the first time that Murdoch has ever been in the top 10 in Canada in the ratings. One of those, it's like NCIS in the US. You know, the ratings continue to go up as the show goes on, and he said he thinks that's probably because they have 18 episodes. I mean, they, you know, unlike shows that have 6, 8, or 10 episodes, you know, if you miss an episode or two of those types of programs, you probably won't tune in. But when you've got 18 episodes to work with, if you miss one week, you can always tune in the next week and don't miss out on anything.
Let me guess, is the villain the evil Dr. Theopolis?
No, I can confirm that is not Dr. Theopolis. We may be thinking of a different
spoiler.
Show. You may be a little confused about a different show. I'm not sure.
I was thinking about Buck Rogers in the 19th century.
There we go. That's a good idea. He does, well, Murdoch does come up with all, you know, different scientific things.
He's got all these steampunky things.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to pitch that. I'm pitching that to CBC.
As long as it doesn't involve Tweaky walking around with him.
Well, we kind of get that with George.
Murdoch.
We kind of get that with George Crabtree.
There you go. So that is coming up on Monday night. If you're a regular watcher, you will know that, or you will have PVR'd it. We certainly don't have as much in the calendar as we did a couple weeks ago. We had a ton then, but we do have a couple more things coming up. This Friday, the 24th of March, we have the debut, finally, of What Would Sal Do?
Yeah, we've talked about this several times. Yes, this was the show that was in limbo when Super Channel declared bankruptcy and got rid of all their original programming. Crave TV stepped in, owned by Bell Media. So What Would Sal Do? All 8 episodes drop on Friday, March the 24th. And Jennifer Dale, Ryan McDonald, and Dylan Taylor and Scott Thompson from The Kids in the Hall all star in this, created by Andrew DeAngelis. And it's a modern-day parable of an entitled underachiever who, for the first time in his life, is challenged to be a good person when he discovers that he's the second coming of Christ. What would Sal do is set in Sudbury, and they say that it's Sudbury, so that just kind of adds to the humor of the program. And I don't know what else I can say. I did a set visit. I'm thrilled that the show's back. I'll be rolling out interviews with everybody in the next couple of weeks. But I'm really excited to hear what fans think of it. If you're a fan of Letterkenny, I think you're really going to like this. And it's no surprise that New Metric Media are the same folks that do Letterkenny and What Would Sal Do. They know what they're doing when it comes to comedy. So check this one out.
Would it suffice to say that you're interested to see what would Sal Do does?
Yes, I would like to see What Would Sal Do. I would like to see What Would Sal Do do, and what he does.
How do you gauge the metrics for a Crave TV series?
The folks at Bell Media, they do have those numbers.
I'm sure they would. In fact, yeah. The numbers would be even more accurate because you could actually tell how long someone watched it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The only thing that I've ever heard them say specifically was that Letterkenny is the highest, the most people watch that. That's far and away the most popular show on Crave, but I've never heard them speak specific numbers about that.
Mm-hmm. All I know is they need a better app for Android. I am a subscriber of Crave TV, I'm just saying. So yeah. I'm a paying subscriber. They need a better Android app.
Really? Okay.
Just saying.
All right.
Coming up next Sunday on the 26th of March, the season finale of Heartland. And I don't know if this is true or not, but is there a horse dying or something?
No, not that I know of. We do have Amy is pregnant. So
there's always a chance that a horse might die.
Well, they don't like to have the horses die. What they do is people get upset, Anthony. People get upset if the animals die. So what they do is they have the animal get really, really sick and then bounce back.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but Amy, who's the lead character on the show, she's been pregnant all season long. So suffice it to say that the baby will be born during the season finale storyline. But there's been a lot of drama because her husband, Anthony Ty, he spent almost all season in Mongolia, and he came back. He was bitten by a tick while in Mongolia, and picked up a disease and was really at death's door. So Sunday night in the penultimate episode, mm-hmm. on March 19th, we weren't sure whether Ty was gonna make it or not. Mm-hmm. You see, so forget about the horses. We're worried
exactly.
about
it's
the
okay
humans.
If people die of Mongolian tick disease.
Oh, but, exactly.
But God forbid the horses. Something should happen to the horses.
Nothing can happen to the horses, and nothing can happen to the dog.
Exactly.
Or the animals at Bob's Sanctuary.
Yes.
Can you tell now, I watched the show?
Have we had an announcement yet on next season for Heartland?
No. Haven't heard anything. I can pretty much guarantee that there would be another season of Heartland, though.
Yes.
Same thing as Murdoch Mysteries. The ratings are so good, it would be more news if they canceled it.
Exactly. Also, coming up on the 26th, the debut of The Story of Canada, The Story of Us. Not The Story of US, The Story of Us.
Yes,
let's
you need
be clear.
To be, yeah, you need to be very careful with the way that you, whether you capitalize the S. In this case, yes. It's the lowercase. So it is Canada, The Story of Us. This is kind of an updated version of Canada People's History, although it's a documentary series like that was. And rather than kind of go through the history of Canada from the very beginning up to modern day, they're kind of cherry-picking different dramatic stories within Canada's history to tell. They're also using Canadian actors, actresses, and historians to be narrators in these episodes. And I actually got a chance last summer to go to a conservation area just outside of Hamilton and watch them filming some military scenes where the Canadian Army was storming the beaches of Normandy. And
Was it Christie Conservation Area?
Yes, it was.
Or Valens.
No, it was Christie. And it was funny because there were people sunbathing like 200 meters down the beach when they let off some explosions and made some little kids cry. It was fantastic. I like it when little kids cry. Well, when they're not my own little kids. So, yeah.
As long as the horses don't die.
As long as the horses don't, yeah, as long as the horses are okay.
So there you go. Now, are they dramatizing these stories?
Yes. Yes, sir, they are.
Okay. Which, to me, is always hit and miss. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it can be done very well, but there's sometimes when they try and dramatize them. Like, it's kind of like when they did, remember those Heritage Minutes, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which, some of them worked well, even for the Heritage Minute. Some of them worked well, and some of them didn't work so well. So I just kind of, I'm always wary a little bit, that's all. Like, I wonder how much historical deference that they're paying. If it's a documentary series, you're hoping that it's historically accurate as opposed to historically embellished, put it that way.
Yeah, and in the cases of having real people involved in telling these stories, in some cases that's people that are reflecting back on the stories of their own, you know, of their own family members that were involved in, say, the storming of Normandy or the Vietnam refugees coming over. So when they're telling these stories and doing these reenactments, it's based on, you know, firsthand knowledge of the people that are involved in it,
right,
or had a family member involved in it.
Right. By the way, just to reach back to our beverage update for a second here, I'm sitting here with the Tic Tac box in front of me, which at the bottom of the cherry cola mixers says artificially flavored mints. Can you consider them a mint if they're cherry cola flavored?
No, I would call it a candy.
So would I. I don't know. That's a question for you to answer, Tic Tac Canada.
And clearly, I'm boring because you were reading the bottom of your Tic Tac container.
Well, no, I mean it's right in front of me. Like as I look down, it's right in front
of me. Dude, I'm kidding.
And it's like artificially flavored mints. Well, I didn't think that they'd actually poured in cherry and
cola. Naturally flavored.
Naturally flavored cherry and cola. We just caramelized the cola up.
Yeah.
March the 31st. Is the season finale of Lost and Found Music Studios. Now, is this is the one I always forget. This is the one, this is the spin-off of the show that was about the singer idol kind of kids from the first season or something like that?
This is the spin-off from the next
or the step. School.
The art school that has the dancers in it, then we've got down the hall are the music kids.
Okay. So the season finale of that. And the only other thing that we have to mention before our next episode is the return on Sunday, April the 2nd of Top Chef Canada All-Stars. Not just Top Chef, not just Top Chef Canada, but Top Chef Canada All-Stars.
Yes, and it's people, chefs from the past, I think it's the first three seasons of the show, selected chefs come back. And compete all over again. And if you're a fan of the franchise, you will recognize everybody.
How many more modifiers can we have?
There's a lot.
Top Chef, Top Chef Canada, Top Chef Canada All-Stars. What's next? The son of Top Chef Canada All-Stars?
Yeah.
No, that would be Top Chef Canada All-Star Kids.
That's right. Oh, no. There you go. That'll be the next iteration for sure.
I think we definitely need to take that to the Toronto Screenwriting Conference, by
the way. Oh, no. You don't bring reality shows to that.
Oh, it's not reality. Trust me.
Well, there you go. Okay.
So, I think it's time to close the calendar, Greg. There we go. A couple notable things to mention before we head off into the wild blue yonder. Just since the past episode, we have had the series finale, not the season, folks, the series finale of X Company. And from what I saw on the social media, on all the tweet clouds, it made a bit of an impact with people.
It did, yes. And thank you to everybody that participated. We raised close to $7,000 for the charity, and the charity is Camp X. It's run through the Oshawa Aeronautical Military and Industrial Museum, and it's a not-for-profit that's overseeing the preservation of the last original Camp X building. So the building is going to be fully restored, and a permanent Camp X museum is going to be housed inside. So anybody that contributed to the auction, that's what you were helping fund. Everything will be mailed out in the next couple of weeks. Mark Ellis, who's the co-creator of X Company, and I are going to go down to CBC one day and package everything up and send it all out. And we had over 40 items that were up for bid, props, wardrobe. It was great, just great stuff, and great to see so many enthusiastic people involved. And we had a series finale screening last Wednesday at the Royal Theater in Toronto that was sold out. I moderated a panel with the creators and the cast. We watched the episode first, the series finale episode, and then had a Q&A afterwards and did a giveaway, and it was a lot of fun. And it was thank you so much to the people that came up to me afterwards that said that they visit the site and they appreciate everything that we do, because we're a small team, and it's always great to get outside of the house and meet the people that are actually reading our stuff, because, you know, you post the stuff to the internet, Anthony, and you're not sure whether anybody is reading any of it. So it's good to know.
What you're saying, Greg, is you like to go out there and meet the peoples.
I like to get out there and touch the people.
Okay, that's even better.
Allow them to touch me.
I like to come out and touch the people. Wasn't that the lost Jim Morrison solo album?
Ew, I think so.
Touch the people. So there you go. If you are, if like many people do in this workaday world, Greg, I think oftentimes more than ever, people miss entire seasons. So like when the season starts up, they either don't know when the start date is. But this is one of those things where, because it's 10 episodes long, it's easy for you to go to either to the CBC website or go onto your on-demand, you know, service that you have and make a weekend out of it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, catch absolutely.
Up on the full season. Yep. There you go. The other thing of note that we want to mention is when Diane and I first started this podcast, way 6 years ago, something like that, might have been. One of the first things we did, and we actually did in the first few episodes, is I said, you know, it'd be really cool if we talked about web series too. And at the time, even then, web series were at least manageable. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Not so manageable anymore to talk about web series as part of a different kind of podcast. They certainly demand their own podcast. And even then, there's probably niches of web series that you could talk about for days on end. So it's difficult to cover. However, we do have some information coming up that might be of interest to people who are television aficionados with regards to web series.
Yeah, and it's something that I've been thinking about for the last couple of years since I hopped on board with Diane, is covering web series. And we didn't, you know, we had talked about it, but felt that it was a little bit, there was a kind of a, you know, there was a little bit of a gray area. But I decided late last year that I wanted to take the plunge and cover them in 2017. I'd been pitched them a lot. And kind of what cemented it for me was at the Canadian Screen Awards was when Natasha Negovan, I'm butchering her last name, Negovanless, I think, and I apologize if I got your name wrong. She's a star of the online series Carmilla, and she won the Fan Choice Award at the Canadian Screen Awards. And that kind of drove it home for me because she beat out Ellen Joy and Yannick Bisson from Murdoch Mysteries. And I thought, okay, now's the time. And it turns out that the timing couldn't be more perfect because the Independent Production Fund, they're looking for submissions for those looking to be awarded funding to bring content to the internet or mobile platforms. And so I did a little bit of research into these guys. And back in 1991, they were established because they were providing financial support for dramatic television series. And then in 2010, they started to include financing drama series for the web. And so it's kind of a two-tier thing. Up until this point, there have been over 70 trailers for potential web series that have been posted on the website. And actually, if you go to TVA.com, there's a link there. And I'll post one in the show notes as well, where you can go and check out all these trailers. And the idea is that at the end of March, the trailers with the most page views and the most of interest to the people involved in deciding who gets the funding, then they'll move on to the next step and they'll award finances to these to a handful of folks. Last year, it was a 16 scripted series. 9 of them were English, 7 of them were French, and 5 were renewals. And actually, one of the new ones, Anthony, was Riftworld Chronicles. And yes. And you did a podcast with Aaron Carpluck, and I did another one with Tam O'Pennicott about Riftworld Chronicles.
Yep.
So they're going to be doing the same thing this year. And so in the story that I've got the link to all of those 70 trailers, but I also spotlit and spoke to the folks involved in 3. One, Earthling House Huntress, which is it's kind of a take on HGTV, where a real estate agent is selling homes to aliens that are coming to this country, to this planet. Hit on Me, created by Marvin Kaye, who's the guy behind co-creator of Less Than Kind, and his is about a hitman that finally tells the girl that he's loved since high school his feelings. And then the third one is called Free Space. It's from Matthew McFadden, and he was on Insecurity on CBC years ago, and it's about a family that runs a bingo hall at the end of the American Empire. And so some of these folks in the list only are interested in turning these projects into web series, but some of them have definite ideas about where they want to go, and they would love to go the letter Kenny route, where they end up making a show that that makes it to broadcast television. So
then that begs the open question: is Letterkenny broadcast television?
Absolutely.
Or is it a web series?
Oh, it's broadcast television at this point.
It's Crave. Crave isn't a network.
Well, but okay, so we could split hairs about that, because is Netflix a network? So you say no.
I would argue that Netflix isn't a network.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you couldn't make an argument from the other side. But I'm saying that If the definition of a network is the idea that you have a bunch of local affiliates and you can watch the same thing in your locale, I mean, ultimately, Netflix is one website. That's it.
It is, and you bring up a good point, and it's an ongoing argument, and I think once you're handing out, and I'm not saying that this is the sole reason why, but once the primetime Emmys and the Golden Globes started handing out awards for people working on projects that are on Netflix, then I think that you're putting those on the same plane. It's apples to apples now. So, and I would say the same thing here. Canadian Screen Awards, Letterkenny won for Best Comedy Series. The lead actress for Camilla won the Fans' Choice Award. I think that now you're comparing apples to apples, and that they're on the same level playing field. Now, I understand. I totally understand your argument. I think it's a viable one.
And the fact that they're calling it Screen Awards is, I think, a testament to the fact that we've got some of that diversity there.
Yeah, yeah, and as Howie Mandel joked, screen, television, digital. We're handing out STDs.
Yes, and then he blew up a glove on his head.
He can't do that anymore. He ruined his sinuses doing that.
Exactly.
But anyway, so
just,
yeah,
just to show you kids, don't blow up gloves on your head.
Yeah.
The only thing, and this is me, probably me being more of, and I come to this from more of a podcasting angle, but the purist in me says there has to be a group of people who make web series out there who are cringing as much as I cringe about the fact that. There's an element of independent, unprofessional, artistic elements of podcasting that I hate seeing besieged by professional radio.
Mm-hmm.
There have to be a bunch of people who have been making web series since the beginning who see all of these television people wandering in, trying to use it only as a springboard to television, that they probably find it rather irksome.
No, yes, you're absolutely right. I agree. And that will be an interesting angle that I want to cover as we move forward, speaking to people that are involved in this. Because, yeah, I've gotten in conversations with people that have been in web series and been creating web series for years now. And I'm sure that they share that feeling that you, exactly the feeling that you're describing.
I think that there's a subtle but noticeable enough difference between making a 22 minute or 40 minute television show versus making a 5 or 6 minute installment web series.
For sure, absolutely.
By the way, this is sponsored by. I went onto the IPF website. This is where, if you're wondering, how Kojiko has to kick money back into the system, so to speak. This is sponsored by the Kojiko Fund.
There we go.
So. All of that and more for these web awards. And I guess all the submissions have already gone in. And if you're interested, follow along if you're interested to see if you can submit one for next year, because I assume they'll be doing it year after year.
They absolutely will, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, I think we've spoken about all we need to speak about, Greg. This has been, it didn't used to be, this has been like an epically long episode going on past 35 minutes now. I don't know what we're thinking about. Holy.
The coffee's done and the Tic Tacs have run out.
Exactly. If we keep talking much more, definitely there's going to be a horse dying. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
Greg, where can people find you when you're not hanging out here talking Canadian television once every couple of weeks?
You can find me running the TVA website. That's tv-eh.com. Also the TVA Twitter account at TV_EH. And we're on Facebook as well. So please follow us in both of those places. We're also on Instagram, and the link to Instagram and also YouTube are at the TVA website. How about you, Anthony?
You can find all the other podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com. Find me on Twitter at Anthony Marco. And find another podcast that Greg and I do about television, not Canadian television, but old television, at bestepisodeever.com, where we talk about retro television. And we just wrapped up season 7 of that podcast. And we're about to launch into season 8, Greg, even though you're a newly conscripted co-host.
Yes.
You get to join us on the season premiere. We've got greenlit for a new season, Greg, by the way.
I'm the Dick York.
I'm wondering if you're going to write a story about us being greenlit for next season.
I should. Yes.
Yes, I think so.
This is breaking news. This is if you listen to this podcast ahead of Best Episode Ever, you didn't actually know whether we were going to be renewed or not.
Exactly. So there you go. Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
That wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.